Thanks for joining us on this week's Real Life Church podcast. We'd love to know if God is using this ministry to bless you in some way. And if you'd like to share your story or know more about getting involved at Real Life Church, you can visit us on our website at livereallife.com today.
We're closing out our series today called This Is My Church. And this month has been a vision month for us. I just wanted to take a moment and break down our vision and what it looked like. And this is week four, and I started the series with Church on the Rock and just how Jesus said he'd build his church and what the church is. The church is not a building. It's a people that God has called out for his own special people. And then we talked about knowing God, what that looks like, how to walk with God. And then last week we talked about finding community, how relationships matter. And today's probably one of my favorites because I just like this topic. And whenever I get an opportunity to minister on this topic, it fires me up. Oh, and don't forget, after church today, we're going to go out to the pavilion and we're going to celebrate. We got like 60-something pizzas coming. We're going to have a party afterwards, so stay after. We got lunch for you today. Praise the Lord. We got chips and drinks. So make sure you stay after and have a good time. We'll go out there and we'll eat and hang out after church today. Praise the Lord. And just to celebrate our vision month and just where we're headed as the church. How many know it's good every once in a while just to celebrate and thank God for his goodness, and it's good to do that together. So don't run to the Cracker Barrel today. We got you covered. Praise the Lord. Our vision's really simple. We want every person that comes through the doors of Real Life Church to know God, find community, and make a difference. That's our goal. That's our strategy. That's our vision. And Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, I'm going to read three different translations this morning. And the first one is out of the KJV. Come on, somebody. It says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'm gonna show you what that word looks like in just a minute, the word perish. In Proverbs 29:18 in the NIV, it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. That word perish, or that word restraint, is kind of, it's like a wild horse in the middle of a field. A wild horse that hasn't been tamed. How many know there's no boundaries? That horse is just, if it's unbridled, then it's never been broken in. And you know, it's never been tamed in a way where it understands its boundaries. And you try to get on a wild horse, come on somebody. I remember I was in Jamaica. This wasn't a horse story, it's a donkey story. I was in Jamaica, and I was planting a church in White House, Jamaica, and you fly into Montego Bay, and you go straight south to the tip of Jamaica, and we were starting a church. It was great. It was between the barber shop and the grocery store. Only thing required down there was, there was a lot of marijuana, praise the Lord. And I was preaching in an open-air meeting between, and we were starting a church down there, and I'll never forget, it was hot. It's hot in Jamaica, and the place we were staying didn't have air conditioning, so you had to sleep with the windows open. And through the day, I just had this wild idea with our teenagers. Let's see if we, and the donkeys, they just run everywhere. Cows, they just do whatever they want to do. And I thought to myself, let's try to wrangle one of them donkeys up. So I did. I wrangled one of them donkeys up. I don't have a picture of it. I'll bring it one day. But I was able to wrangle one of them donkeys up. We chased them at night. So we thought, well, maybe they didn't see us. We were like stealth. And we caught the donkey. Well, we caught the donkey. Praise the Lord. Well, we caught the donkey. I rode the donkey. It was awesome. Well, that donkey didn't necessarily care for me very much. So we slept with the windows open. I'll never forget it. I was sleeping. I was gone. I don't know how you guys sleep. But I was out. And all of a sudden, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden you hear, hee-haw! And I mean, I shot up out of my bed. That thing scared me. That dumb donkey had stuck his head in the window and hee-hawed, man. Well, that donkey didn't have any bridle or figuring out what he's supposed to do. He just roam around. And that's kind of like you without vision. That's kind of like a church without vision. You just do whatever you want, kind of go with the flow, and there's no boundaries, and everything feels like you do everything. Well, that's not here, right? We don't want to make it so busy that you don't know what we're doing. The Bible tells us that we're to have a vision, and that vision is to come from Jesus. And today, God wants us to walk within the boundaries of that vision. Proverbs 29:18 says this: if people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. So this applies to you in your personal life as well, not just to church. But if you don't see what God's doing in your life, you're going to stumble all over yourself. If you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't have that revelation of what God wants to do in your life and through your life, you're going to stumble all over yourself. You're going to live in a constant state of frustration and confusion. He says this, but when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. When you figure out what God wants for your life, when you understand this is what I was created for, he says this in Proverbs, he says, when you attend to that and what he reveals, you're more than blessed. So when you find the vision that God has for your life, you're blessed. And I really believe that we have a vision here at our church, and I believe we're blessed. Come on, somebody. I believe we're blessed. I believe we're a blessed church. I believe you're a blessed people. I believe you're blessed. And so when you figure that out, all of a sudden God begins to pour blessing out on you. And so what I want you to understand today is that God has always intended for you to live a life of fulfillment. I know sometimes in our life, and most people don't understand that because they think God's this big judge in the sky and I'm supposed to live like this little peon on the earth. No, God's your father. And he's always wanted you to live a life of fulfillment. And most people don't understand that that's how God wants to do. And most people don't live in that place. And listen, if you've settled for anything less than that, then you are settling for less than what God has for you. If you're not living a life of fulfillment, you have significantly lived under the bar of what God wants to do in your life, and you won't be fulfilled. You're living less than. Well, God has a great plan for you, and it comes out of his vision for your life. And so today I'm going to tackle the last subject, and it's called make a difference. Make a difference. And so how do people get to the place where they don't live that life of fulfillment? They live the unfulfilled life. What happens in your life if you feel unfulfilled? Now, again, I'm not talking about from a selfish standpoint, because you'll see where I'm getting ready to go. But we live a life where we're just unfulfilled. And you know, I want you to know this today. As a child of God, you should act that way. You shouldn't be embarrassed about being blessed. You shouldn't be embarrassed about having the things that God's placed in your life. Don't let it have you, right? Don't let the blessing have you. Always be a blessing. But you have to understand today, it's okay to be blessed because your daddy owns 1,000 cows on 1,000 hills. Come on. He paints heaven. He paves the streets of heaven with gold. And it's okay to live in that place of fulfillment, but the world has said you shouldn't live in that place of fulfillment. And why don't we live in that place? Why do we live in that unfulfilled life? Well, John chapter 10, verse number 10 says it this way. The thief's purpose, this is the thief, this is the enemy. He says the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you live in an unfulfilled life and you're living an unfulfilled life, you have to understand today that there is an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But notice what Jesus said. He says, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to live on the side of the thief's purpose. He doesn't want you to live in that place where there's a lot of stealing and killing and destroying. And I don't mean necessarily literal, but some of you, the enemy's killed your vision. Some of you, the enemy's destroyed your ambitions and your dreams, and circumstances have happened, and he just puts a basket on your dreams, and he hides you in that place of pain and isolation. When God, that's not God's plan for your life, church. God's plan is not for you to walk around broken all the time. Come on, God's plan for you is that you would be whole and that you would walk in his purpose for your life, not this world and this brokenness and this craziness. God's plan is that you would be fulfilled. So, if that's the case in John chapter 10, how do we live this? Why do we live this unfulfilled life? Number one is this, we let our past cripple us. When it comes to living an unfulfilled life, we let our past cripple us. It's so funny when you're driving your car. If you want to wreck your car, drive like I do. Don't look out the mirror. Don't look out the front window shield. Don't look out the windshield in the front of you. Look out the side or the rearview mirror. Some of you look in the rearview mirror so much that you can't stay on the road. I watch you drive. I hear the, how many else get that? I get that all the time. Come on, somebody. I'm a distracted driver. But what you have to understand today is that's what you do with your life. You're so mesmerized by your past. Stop making your past an idol. Your past is supposed to be over, according to 2 Corinthians 5. It says that you're a new person in Christ. Old things have passed away. Why do you keep setting it up as an idol? Well, my past did this. That's why I am the way I am today. Not if Jesus came in. If Jesus came in, the tie to your past is broken, and you can be a brand new person today. You don't have to be crippled by your past anymore. Don't let the past cripple you. We define ourselves by our choices, our mistakes. We focus on our inadequacies and our inabilities. And because of that, we don't live in God's vision for our life. Psalm 38, 4 and 6 says it this way. This is David praying. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought low. In other words, he's allowing his past to cripple him. Number two of why we don't live that fulfilled life is we let culture define us. We let culture define us, and we're running a playbook for our life, but it's not God's. And when you run the playbook for your life according to the standard of culture, you will never be fulfilled. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care all the material things. You are still unfulfilled on the inside. There is a loneliness and a brokenness, and you're striving to be this person of success, and you're unfulfilled. That's why you keep striving. When you keep striving and you keep trying to make things happen in your life, you're living according to the culture's playbook. And that's a trap of the enemy. There's really two playbooks that the enemy puts in front of. First is the culture puts in front of us, and that's the devil's trap. There's a trap from the enemy that he puts. There's a devil's trap, and he puts a playbook out for us. And then there's the counterfeit. The counterfeit playbook is one that you thought would make you happy. Right, you've climbed the ladder of success to discover it's not what you thought it was going to be. You've worked really hard, and you get to a point where, well, I've achieved something, but there's still unfulfillment in your heart. It's because you're defining success based on what the culture tells you to define, and that's a counterfeit. That's a counterfeit to God's plan for your life. You will never be fulfilled in that place. Listen, you will always have a lack of fulfillment if you're always trying to please man. You will never be fulfilled with pleasing man. Now, I don't mean you're mean to man and, oh man, I'll do whatever, I'm gonna rebel. No, that's not what I mean. I don't have to do what they say. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about making decisions based on somebody else's opinion. That's what it means to be driven by the culture. And you let the culture define you. Galatians 1:10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be able to be a servant of Christ. So if you're trying to please men, you can't be a servant of Christ. You have to understand today that the pressure of this culture right now is always going to lie to you. You know, I used to, growing up, used to watch the Budweiser commercials. Oh God, he's talking about beer in church. Yeah, that's, we all have seen them. Those horses, those beautiful Clydesdale horses on the Budweiser commercial, they're in the snow, and they're big and beautiful, and the commercial's awesome, and they're like, buy Budweiser, it'll change your life. Oh yeah. How many know they're not gonna put liver disease on the commercial? Come on, somebody. They're not gonna show somebody at the hospital struggling for their life. Why? Because the enemy always lies to you. Right? He doesn't tell you the full truth. He doesn't tell you what the end's going to look like. Right? That's the counterfeit. And if you're always trying to approve it, and pressure of this culture will always lie to you, and not only lie to you, but try to redefine you. Come on, it will try to redefine who you are. It will try to redefine you as a person, whether you're male or female. It will try to redefine marriage. All of this stuff, they try to redefine you. We can no longer take our cues from the culture's playbook. We got to take it from God's word, right? And so if we're going to fulfill God's vision, we can't take it from the culture. And then what happens when we take it from the enemy's playbook or the counterfeit, it produces confusion in us. And it produces confusion in who we're really supposed to be in this life. And we struggle to find God's playbook for our life, and we live unfulfilled. I'm telling you, if we could become a church that would live our lives based on the B-I-B-L-E, you'll live a life of fulfillment. This is the bottom line. No tricks, that's it. Just live your life on the B-I-B-L-E. The third thing is you live an unfulfilled life as you try to do it all alone. And we talked about this, but Ecclesiastes 4:8 said there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. We try to do it all alone. You know, there's something called, I was looking this up, and An American psychologist named Abraham Maslow has Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and some of you may have read this or heard of this, but he had a list of needs that every person has. It's like the hierarchy of needs is what he calls it, that every person has needs, and he breaks these down into 8 different needs, and the first one is physical needs. He breaks that down as having physical needs, and that's air, food, water, shelter, you know, warmth. And so, how many know we need that physical need? Then we have a need for safety. There's a safety need on the inside of each and every one of us, and there's security and law and order and limits and stability and those sorts of things. Then there's the love needs. We all have these, and it's family, it's affection, it's healthy relationships and those sorts of things. That's why social media is so popular. It gives you a counterfeit of what love really is. I won't go there, but we'll talk about that later. Number 4 is esteem needs. We all need esteem needs. We need that sense of achievement and recognition, a desire to be appreciated and valued. Those are needs we have. And now, that's 4 of those, but the final 4 are higher order of needs in our life. It's a growth need. It's a growth idea or a growth need. And really, these are things that contribute to our growth and fulfillment. And so number 5 was cognitive needs. And that is where you need mental stimulation. You need knowledge. You need meaning. You need solutions. You need analysts. You need those sorts of things happening in your life. Then there's the aesthetic needs where you appreciate order, you have beauty, outdoors, mountains, beaches, praise the Lord. Not Ohio, amen. I'm just kidding. It's beautiful, man. The little Miami you just drive, it's beautiful. Way better than the Pacific. Come on. Then there's self-actualization needs, which is you need to realize your own personal potential. And Maslow actually believed that this was the highest level of need in our life, was the self-actualization needs, and it's personal potential. It's a sense of being the best self we were created to be. Again, this is not biblical, but he says that it's a pursuit of goals. It's a pursuit of excellence, which is right, and regardless of what we do. And so he thought this was the highest level as he lived life and begin to continue to study these things. There was an 8th one that was actually trumped the number 7 one, which was the self side of things. And he had assumed that this was the highest need. But the last one, a transcendent need. Transcendence is the highest level, and it's the greatest need in a person's life, he discovered. And it's the ultimate motivator that explains why you get up in the morning. And so as you think about this, this need is a reflection and compassion and sympathy and times. This is times when you look beyond yourself. This is times where you help others, not out of obligation, but for just the joy of helping someone else to meet someone else's needs. And this is the transcendence needs. And I think this is the highest level of needs as well. This is where the make a difference lifestyle begins to come in. It's interesting that he called it transcendent because it exceeds limits. It exceeds limits. It's exceeding beyond the limits of ordinary experience. And I think that takes us back to Ephesians 3:20. Takes us back to now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more. He's able to transcend everything that we ever desired or dreamed of. Inevitably beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. And so we have a need on the inside of us to make a difference. We have a need on the inside of us not just to have clothing and food and water and shelter, but there's a need on the inside of every person that God hardwired in us that we would live beyond ourselves. That we would move and live beyond ourselves. And so if we're not careful, we're going to fall into this place where we're trying to do it alone and we're living in our past and those sorts of things. So how do you transition? How do you live a fulfilled life? If you know how to live an unfulfilled life, how do you live a fulfilled life? Number 1, it begins with a calling. It begins with a calling. If you're going to understand that your life was meant for a transcendent cause, it's meant for something greater. It's meant to make a difference. It's meant to do something beyond yourself, that it begins with a calling. And as a church, here's what I need everyone in here to understand. You, everyone in this room has got to understand this. We're all a part of this. We're all a part of the body of Christ. We're all a part of the vision of what God has for our church and for our region. That we're all a part of it. We're all called. Listen, if you lose your way, it's most likely it's because you've lost your why. If you lose your way, most of the time it's because you've lost your why. It's the transcendent need of going beyond ourselves and understanding that God has called us to do this. It's for everyone. It's not for a selected few. It's for everyone. Everyone is called to be a part of God's vision. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a part. Come on, look at your other neighbor, which was your second choice, and tell them you're a part. Come on, you're a part of this thing. And some of you need to start telling yourself this. You need to get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm called of God. You need to start to say that I'm a part of the body of Christ and the mission of God in the earth and the vision that God has for this region. And you need to start to tell yourself that I'm called of God. Stop looking in the mirror and saying, well, I'm just less than. I'm just less than. No, you know what you're doing? You're smacking God in the face when you say you're less than. You're like, well, Pastor, why is that? It's because he created you. He created you to live differently. He created you to experience differently. You don't have to smack him in the face. You get up and say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. God's got a vision for me, and I'm going to walk in that vision every single day of my life. I'm not going to believe the counterfeit. I'm not going to believe the culture. I'm not going to believe my past. I'm not going to believe the rearview mirror anymore. I'm tired of wrecking my life. And when you get to that place, and all of a sudden you understand you're called. Here it comes out of a place of desire. Not because we have serve teams or we're building a chart. No, none of that. It comes out of a desire of I want to make a difference. When I get up in the morning and this big 13 hits the ground, I want all of hell to know that he's up again. And he's here to tear that kingdom down. He's here to run devils off in this region. He's here to see people saved because I'm a child of God. And I'm called for such a time as this to do what God has called us to do as a church. It begins with a calling. 2 Timothy 1:9 says God saved us and then called us. He didn't just save you to sit. Come on, somebody. He didn't just save you and deliver you so you could sit on your blessed assurance. That's all I can say in church, somebody. If we turn the camera off, I'm just joking. All I'm saying is God, he said he saved you and then he called us to his holy work. What God's doing here is not a business plan, it's a holy work. Don't ever forget it. When you sign up to serve and join a team, you're joining a holy work. You're not signing up just to fill a slot on a schedule. You're signed up to do your purpose. You're signing up to be a part of God's holy work, that you're called for such a time as this to be a part of. It's not just, I just work in the next step there. No, it's a holy work. When you greet out front, it's a holy work. People's lives are in jeopardy and you're out there. Hi, my name's Glenn. Welcome to Real Life. Come on, somebody. Every person matters. It's how we fulfill our calling. It comes out of a desire. He says, we had nothing to do with it. I love that part. God chose us, saved us, and then called us to his holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea. So look, you ain't that slick, buddy. It ain't your idea anyway. It's God's idea that he saved you, and then he called you to a holy work. And it's his idea. Why? Because, listen, let me keep reading. Here's what he says. A gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. Aren't you thankful? I had no idea this is what I'd be doing my life. Dear God, I wanted to be a chef. More a taste tester than a chef. You know what I'm saying? I love Saturdays at Sam's. I'm like, come on, honey, let's go to Sam's. Whoa, let's get some of that bacon grease. Praise him. Ooh, they had some funky stuff yesterday. Amen. Here's the point. I want to make a difference. Do you want to make a difference? Do you have a desire in your heart to get up in the morning and go, I want to make a difference. I don't just want to go to work. I got to go to work again. It's Monday. Come on. Even if you work, wherever you work, it's your holy work. It's God's called you there and appointed you there for such a time as this. And you got to wake up in the morning and go, I want to make a difference today. It's not just going to fall on you. You got to say it. It's got to be the desire in your heart. So if you want to live a fulfilled life, you have to want to make a difference. Number two. Is it stands on a cause. Making a difference and living a fulfilled life stands on a cause. Listen to me, God has more for you than what the world calls human accomplishments. You can climb the ladder all day long and reach the top, but if it's not the holy work of God, You're just going to pass on some money to your kids. That's all you're going to do. But you ain't taking nobody with you. It's a calling. It is a cause. It's an eternal difference that you're making. It's a cause that counts. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, "But my life is worth nothing to me." That's got to get back into the American church. Life's not about you. If you're really going to make a difference, life's not about you. Well, Pastor, you're being a little hard this morning. No, I'm just trying to communicate the truth to you, folks. I'm not here to patty cake you and make you feel wonderful every Sunday. Oh, that's a good church. That's a good church. You're doing so good. You're doing wonderful. Every once in a while, you got to rub the cat backwards. Come on, somebody. Come on. How many know you rub a cat backwards, it irritates the crap out of them? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Stray cats are a whole other story. We won't get into that because my daughter's got a cat now and she loves little Olive Joy. Praise the Lord. But if you rub that cat backwards, it gets irritated. And some of you get irritated with some of the stuff I say. Listen to me here. Here's what I want you to know. It's truth and love every single Sunday. Because I see more in you than you see in yourself. I see more in us than you can see as us. But as we come together around this cause of what God wants to do, it's going to be an eternal difference. He says this. He says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." He gave you the assignment, not Jason. I didn't give you the assignment. If you're serving, if you're on our staff, if you're on our leadership team, it's not me giving you an assignment. It's the Lord Jesus Christ gave you that assignment, and that's who you got to stand in front of. Not me. I got to stand before him too. You ever wonder what you're going to look like when you see him? You're going to feel like, well, crap, I didn't do anything. You know what I mean? And then there's Paul standing over there like, hey, let's see what Jason did while he's on here. Paul's been shipwrecked and started 9 million churches. And then there's Peter over there like, let's see what Jason did. I was crucified upside down. You know that, Jason? I think Peter's a little country. Come on, somebody. He says, the work, what is the work? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. What we are doing every Sunday is we're creating an environment for people to be able to hear the good news of the wonderful grace of God. What you're doing when you live your life, you're creating a place. You're telling others of the good news of the wonderful grace of God. So you want to make a difference? You want to know what the cause is? People and heaven. That's it. You're supposed to say that. You're the pastor. No, I'm not. Jesus told you that. The purpose of your life and the cause of your life are people in heaven. So I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. Come on, somebody. Let me say it again. I'm putting this all together, so stay with me. I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. And then number three, if you're going to live a fulfilled life, it spreads from me to we. If you're going to live a fulfilled life, it spreads from me to we. It stands on a cause. It starts with a calling, and it spreads from me to we. Listen, for those of you with that tough, independent, self-sufficient type of person you are, you struggle with this part. You like to be in control. You like to be the one that, oh, I get the praise for that one. Oh no, where we're headed, no person gets the praise but Jesus. He said, from me to we. Me to we. No part of the body can exist independently of, cut my arm off. Lay it on the ground right now. How many know my arm is going to eventually stop functioning? It's not connected to the other parts of the body. And all the parts of our body function together as a whole. That's what Jesus tells us about us as a church. It's not me, it's we. It takes everybody. True fulfillment, listen to me, never comes alone. It only can be attained within a group of people. True fulfillment never comes alone. It can only be attained within a group of people. Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. So I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with people who want to make a difference. This is what making a difference is all about. This is the highest level of life. This is the transcendent cause, is when your life begins to impact other people. When your life begins to impact other people, that's when the transcendent cause of God begins to happen through your life. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about your desires. It's no longer about you being in control. It's going from me to we. John 15 says it this way: "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I have told you this, though, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Notice what he said. He says, when you bear much fruit, you'll have joy. In other words, you'll have fulfillment in this life. We want joy in our life and we're waiting for joy to happen. And God's saying, go do something for somebody else and watch joy happen in your heart. He says, go bear much fruit and then your joy will be complete. That's what God means by making a difference. When it moves from me to we, as we do this together, you'll never be happy until you're doing something with a group of people who are making a difference. I want to make a difference, doing something that makes a difference with people who want to make a difference. Now, here's the greatest tragedy of every one of our lives, is that we get to the end of this thing and think that your life really didn't matter. You'd get to the end of it and think, I just lived. I didn't make a difference. Like, I just existed. That's not God's plan for your life. Listen, if you want momentary happiness, serve yourself. If you want lasting fulfillment, serve someone else. If you want lasting fulfillment, serve someone else. That's what making a difference looks like. Mark chapter 10 says it this way. I'm going to close with this. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. Speaking of Jesus, the Son of Man. And notice he's the Son of Man in this, not the Son of God. That means man side of him served. He came to serve, not to be served. How did he do that? It says, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. He gave his life away for many who were held hostage. That's some of you in this room today. You're still in hostage. You're still in that place where you're experiencing that bondage. You're experiencing those things in your life that just really keep you in that place of feeling bound. Let me read this one more time to you. He says that is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. How did God come to make a difference in our life? He gave his life away in exchange for many who were held hostage. That's what Jesus did for you. And if you're in this place today and you say, Pastor Jason, man, I came to church just thinking I was coming to church. And you came to church today and you're in that place where it's like, hey, like I'm really contemplating where I am in life. Maybe you've been living that unfulfilled life. Maybe you've been focusing so much on your past. Maybe you've been crippled by that. Maybe you've been living according to the counterfeit playbook for your life. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Today's a day of decision for you. And the reason I want you to understand that is the last scripture we just read. He came to serve you. How did he serve? He served by giving his life for us. You have to understand that as you come into the kingdom, and if you're already in the kingdom, the make a difference looks like I now do what Jesus did. I give my life for others. That's what make a difference looks like. So if you're in this place today and you say, Pastor Jason, man, here's the deal. I'm just going to be real honest with you today. We're all family in here. You know, if you're our guest, we're your family. I want you to know today that the reason he came was to serve and to seek and save that which is lost. And you're in this place and you still feel like a hostage. You still feel like you're in that jail cell of sin. You've never come out of that place where you've made a decision to say yes for Christ. And the Bible tells us that we are to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, then will we be saved. Not going to church, but the confession of your mouth, that you believe in your heart. Everything I just said about what Jesus did for you, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved today. And there's some of you in this room, you're still in hostage, but I want you to know, it's just one decision away. You're one decision away from the greatest breakthrough you've ever experienced in your entire life. And it's when you invite him in. He's never been your problem. As much as you want to put it on him, he's not your problem. Sin is your problem. We live in a cursed planet. That's the problem. Jesus came to redeem us and to set us free from those things called sin. And so today, if you're in this place, you say, Pastor Jason, I'm in that place right now. I need to make a decision to follow Christ. I'm tired of being hostage. I'm tired of living this unfulfilled life. Maybe you've walked away from God, and today's a day that you need to come back to him and rededicate your life to him. Today's that day as well. And you say, Pastor Jason, that's me. I need to make that decision to say yes to Christ. And I'm just going to pray for you. And when I do, I believe God's going to do something major in your life. And so on the count of three, with every head up and every eye open, you say, why you do that, Pastor? It's because we're a family. We want to celebrate this decision with you. There's no such thing as secret service Christian. It's like, we're not just trying to be secret. No, it's not a secret. It's the greatest story ever told. So if you're in this place and you say, Pastor Jason, I need to give my heart to Christ today. I want to make that decision on the count of three. I want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. Ready? One, two, three. Go ahead, just raise your hand. If you're in this place, you say, Pastor Jason, that's me. I need to make a decision to say yes for Christ. Go ahead, raise up your hand. You say, that's me. I need to make that decision. Anybody at all, say, I need to come home to Jesus. I'll look one more time. Anybody at all? It's awkward looking at me, isn't it? But I'm waiting because I think there's somebody in here who needs to say yes to Christ. Not manipulation, just by the Holy Spirit. You need to rededicate your life. You're not living for God. And don't let the devil trick you that you are. You're not living for God. He's not at the center of your life and you've walked away from him. You got to come home today. Bottom line. And we're going to pray together. And at that decision, God will save you in that moment. Anybody at all? I'll give you one last look. One last look. Okay. What do we do, church? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? As we move into this next phase of ministry and all that God has for our church, our vision is really simple. We want people to know God, find community, and make a difference. And you know, as a pastor, We've seen over 50-something people say yes to Christ in the last 9 weeks. Come on, somebody. Now, here's what we don't do. You ready? We don't leave here and go, man, that was kind of deflating today, wasn't it? Nobody said yes to Christ today. Nobody raised their hand. No, you know what that means? That means that we continue to do the message. Make a difference. Tell the good news. Invite the lost to come to church and watch their lives change. Don't believe the hype of the enemy. Don't believe the hype of the enemy today. So today we're going to do something a little different as we close out. I know I'm a little later. I'm letting them get the pizza set up. Praise the Lord, because I'm ready. On your card, you have an all-in card. And what we did the last week and we'll do today as well is we just want to know if you're all in or not. We're talking about our vision of our church, where we're headed. Make no mistake about this, everybody. If anybody has any questions about this, we are doing two services right out the gate because we're making room for the harvest. So we will be moving to two services when we open up the facility. Come on, somebody. And I believe God's going to fill it with the people that need Jesus. And so if you're in, so as you pull out your card, I want you to fill that out really quick. I just want you to put your name. If you're in, like, we want you to know that you're all in. Like, Pastor, what does that mean? That means you're all in. That means your life's not your own. And we're going to serve. we're going to serve a little extra probably in this next season as we see how this thing goes with the growth and the multiple services. And you guys have all had the luxury of serving, some of you just once a month. I want you to know something. God's going to require more of us in this next season. And I believe it's because he's preparing the core people that is getting ready to see more people come to know him. And so today we're going to do something, and as we do, I want you to fill that out. I want to pray over you, and then I want you to come to the front if you're in, and I just want you to scatter them on the stage. That's what I want. Just put them on the stage, okay? And we'll collect them, and then we're going to have a moment, and we're going to worship. And I don't know, did the team leave? Is anybody here? Am I going to sing today? How great is all. Did you just turn me off, bro? He just turned me off. I was trying to sing and worship God. You're going to take that up with Jesus Christ, Sean. Some craziness. So we're gonna pray, and then we'll have you guys all come forward. As we pray, you are dismissed, and you can bring your card forward, go get your kids, go outside, have some pizza. Let's have a big party. And hey, this is what this party's about, is we're celebrating where God's taken us. Praise God. We're celebrating where he's brought us from, and we're celebrating where he's taken us today. Praise the Lord.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on social media, the RLC app, and online at livereallife.com.